There we go. Missed all that. Oh, well. But I was looking at the baptismal certificate for Declan, and I remember the date, April 13th?
Yep.
Okay, April 13th. I bring this up because of the gospel and the first reading. It's all about eternal life. It's about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. I'll do it anyway. And that's why they were sad, you see. Anyway, But they didn't believe in the resurrection. Well, if there's no resurrection from the dead, as St. Paul says, our faith is in vain. If there's no resurrection from the dead that's available to us, then don't come here. Just don't. It's a waste of time. But if there is, this is the pathway to the resurrection. You ever notice how we come up from the street? Where does it go? The high point used to be the altar of sacrifice. Maybe one day, please God. But it goes to the altar of sacrifice. Up, up, up. What does that reflect? Jesus' journey up Calvary. And there, salvation was effected for us who choose it. Right? And so this is the pathway there. But when did his life begin? It wasn't April 13th. It was 9 months prior to that. That's when God, and I've gotten in the habit of doing this at every funeral now, and I'm going to continue doing it. How did God create? He spoke everything into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he said, it is good, it is good, it is good, until he created man and woman. And then he said, it is very good. He spoke into being. 9 months prior to April 13th, thereabouts, God said, let Declan exist. God spoke him into being. He knew him by name before you did. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Intimately, by name. And then he said, I want this boy to exist. For what purpose? To become a saint. Because in becoming a saint, we affect the world. We change the world. Does the world need changing? Yes, it does. How? By us trying to be saints. And that doesn't mean a weird life. It doesn't. The glory of God is man fully alive. Being you, as, what's his name? Kelly. Matthew Kelly says, being the best version of yourself, meaning the best version of who God created you to be. You like sports? Great. Play sports. Don't let them take the place of worship of God. And so on and so forth. I'm not going to go down that road too far. But his life began, his human life began at conception. That is a settled scientific fact for over 200 years. And yet, Tuesday, this country votes. What's on the ballot? Many things. National security, economy. There's been a move to make life the primary issue. And it's interesting because it has been attempted by those who want to be able to say this life shouldn't exist. But it should be our primary issue. First of all, we have the right to vote in this country. Before I go further, I should have said this as a preface. I am not going to, now or anytime in the future, I will not, I should not, tell you who to vote for. It's not my job. I'm your spiritual father. I have a moral obligation before God as a priest not to tell you who to vote for, but to talk about the principles that are at stake according to the teachings of God through his church. How does God speak to the world in terms of teaching what we believe? Through the church. 1 Timothy 3:15 says what? The pillar and foundation of truth is the church. It's not individuals in the church, it's the church. I want to share with you what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about voting. We have a right to vote. That is not something most of the world enjoys. We do. It is a great right. But have you noticed that every right has with it a commensurate responsibility? If you pass your driver's test, you have a right to get behind the wheel and drive, but you've got a responsibility to drive on the correct side of the road, obey the laws of the road, and do it in a state of non-inebriation. You've got that responsibility. As example, we have a right to vote. We also have a massive responsibility. Here's what God says through His church. This is Catechism, paragraph 2240. Submission to authority and co-responsibility for the common good, the good of all, make it morally obligatory to pay taxes. This is true. To exercise the right to vote. Morally obligatory. Now, people ask me, Father, do you vote Republican? Do you vote Democrat? And I say, yes. Meaning, I don't care if they got an R, a D, or an I behind their name. It doesn't matter to me. I vote Catholic. Now, what I don't mean by that is that I vote only for Catholics. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, I bring my faith with me. I strive to in every aspect of my life. Now, full disclosure, I go to confession a lot. So that means I don't do it well all the time. But we cannot, we have a moral obligation not to compartmentalize our faith and say, well, my faith will inform me here, but not here. We bring our faith into our workplace. We bring our faith into our sports, into our extracurricular activities, and we bring our faith into the ballot box, that it informs us on issues, not on candidates. Meaning, I vote, this is how I vote. I vote for the candidate that most closely represents the teachings of God through His church. Now, there are a myriad of issues, are there not? However, there are issues that are foundational. You guys have heard me use this image before, but I haven't thought of a better one. Any of you people in the trades, in building trades, what's the most important stage of building a house? It's building the foundation. If that foundation is faulty, the house, no matter how good the rest of it is, it's going to collapse prematurely. It's just the way it goes. In fact, have you noticed, and in the wake of the tragedies of the hurricane in Florida, and now these tornadoes in Texas and Oklahoma, you ever notice when houses are in fact lifted off their foundation, what remains? The foundation always remains. The strength of the foundation. And if you get it wrong there, then the house will collapse. So what's the foundation of issues among issues? We've got Declan as a great example. In fact, we've got 100 people as a great example. Whole bunch of issues to consider. But here's the fact. Without life, the beginning of life, there are no issues. Every issue requires life to exist in the first place. And if we get it wrong on life, then we're going to get it wrong on all the other issues ultimately. The beginning of life. When does life begin? begins at conception. It begins at conception. That is on the ballot. In my home state of Michigan, Proposition 3 seeks to... Now, with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that didn't end abortion as such. What it did is it moved that decision-making to the state level. And in the state of Michigan, Proposition 3 on the ballot Tuesday is seeking... I read the amendment or the proposition... to allow abortion at all stages without any restriction at all, up to and including when the baby is coming out of the birth channel. I'm not going to start to describe what that looks like. I don't have to. I just saw from Father Chris Alar, my cousin texted me a homily that he just did. National Public Radio just broadcast on radio live an abortion. As Father Alar said, my God, what have we become? I'm not going to begin because there's kids here. He described, because apparently he didn't have kids in his audience. What have we become? All under the guise of rights? The right to do what? And again, if anybody here has been affected or you know somebody's been affected by abortion, this is not a condemnation of any person. Please hear that. But we cannot sit silently and allow the actions to take place. Not only is the baby's life lost, but effectively, the damage done to mom and dad and to the society. He's got... What are God's plans for Declan? We don't know yet, but I know this. He's got amazing plans for that boy. He's got plans for him. Mother Teresa said... This is back when AIDS was kind of new... and scary, and it still is. She stood, I think it was in front of Harvard University at their graduation, and she talked about this, and she said, we talk about the right to an abortion to take the life of a little baby. Maybe the person God had created to bring about a cure for AIDS is never going to live. We don't know God's plans. We don't. We have a right to do the good. We never have a right to do evil. That's the first of what we call the non-negotiables, is the right to life. Now, law and order is a life issue. Just watch the news. Law and order is a life issue. We got to start with the beginning of life. National security is a life issue. All of these fit in, but we got to get it right at the beginning too. The second is marriage. Okay, I'm going to go back. I'm going to read one quote from Pope John Paul the Great. He says, the common outcry which is justly made on behalf of human rights, for example, the right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture, all those things that they include, is false and illusory. Not because they're bad, they're really good. But the outcry for them is false and illusory if the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right and the condition for all other personal rights, is not defended with the maximum determination. St. Paul the Great. St. John Paul the Great. The second non-negotiable as part of the foundation is the dignity of marriage and family. Now here I'm going to quote Pope Francis from his encyclical Lumen Fidei, which means the light of faith.
The first setting in which faith enlightens the human city is the family. The family begins at marriage. That's when family begins, at I do. And the family is the cell of society. What do we know about cells in the body? If the cells are sick, the body is sick. Society is the body of Christ, and we are sick today because the family has been attacked and drugged down and harmed in so many ways. Pope Francis goes on, I think first and foremost of the stable union of man and woman in marriage. This union is born of their love as a sign and presence of God's own love. Every marriage is a sign of the love of the Trinity and of the acknowledgement and acceptance, now listen to this, of the goodness of sexual differentiation. The complementarity of difference of man and woman in marriage is that and only that which can bring about life. There are two primary goals of life or of marriage. One is the holiness of the couple to get each other to heaven. That's job number one. The second is procreation, the begetting of life. Only the differentiation of man and woman is by its nature able to convey life, to fulfill the nature of marriage. And Pope Francis recognizes this in this statement. He says, there the spouses can become one flesh and are enabled to give birth to a new life, a manifestation of the Creator's goodness. Let Declan exist, right? Let you exist. The third of these, and the last one, is religious freedom and freedom of conscience. There are a lot of quotes here, but I'll say this. To have the freedom not just to believe in God and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but the freedom to actually bring that into the public square. We must have that freedom. Not to impose our religion on anybody. So, well, you must be Catholic, or the United States must become a Catholic nation. That is not at all what the church says. But we have to be able to bring our faith into the public square. Do you know that Adolf Hitler, who was Catholic, he was baptized Catholic, he was actually an altar boy, careful fellas, but he grew up under the heavy hand of an abusive father, and other things, and so he came to hate God and his church. Do you know that he was okay with you being Catholic in his Nazi Germany? So long as you never brought it out in the public. Well, why? Because then your faith can't affect anything. We must have the right to express our faith, as well as every other faith out there. And there we can enter into dialogue. We can have that dialogue and have the debate and propose and make arguments, not fights, but arguments for what we believe to be true. That brings God into it. To suppress that pushes God out. These are the three non-negotiables that are the foundation of every other issue upon which we live in this country. If we get it wrong in the foundation, well, then our house will collapse. If we get it right, and the foundation is cracked right now, folks, but it can be fixed. You and I have that obligation and that opportunity this Tuesday in two more years in those elections to bring our faith to bear, the truth of God, to vote for Republican, Democrat, Independent, Martian, doesn't matter, so long as the ones that are closest to the teachings of God through His church. God and only God wants our true happiness. The results of our choices will either guarantee it or will guarantee that it doesn't exist. It's actually up to us.